As you notice, there's no Bible, no notes, no phone. He's having me, I don't know how long this season will last, but he's having me right now as a demonstration, because elders are to lead the flock by example and not lording it over you or lording it over your faith. And we're coming into the time of Joel's army in reality. And what that means is, in a practical way, it's no longer going to be a matter. And there was a season and a time. I thank God for their healing revivals of the 50s, 60s. I thank God for what we saw, how watching Dave minister in the gifts and the following the Holy Spirit, and so many others besides Dave. But see, the real end time prophecy, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, the real end time prophecy. It's an army of believers. And God's in the process of moving you, if you'll allow me, from the receiving side of the prayer line to the giving side of the prayer line. Not the, always the ones needing healing, but the ones ministering healing. Not the ones needing always God's provision, if you'll allow me, but being on this side where you've got so much, you're trying to find how to give it away. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be millionaires, but it means some will. We're all going to be his stewards. So what I heard this morning before the service, just quiet prayer, coffee in a fireplace. Does it get any better than that? Well, Sue's in the house, so that's the part of the blessing. What I was seeing this morning, though, before just quiet, coming up in my spirit, was when Jesus asked them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" See, there's no other more important question that you'll ever answer than that. You can watch Dave and hear him and know who Dave thinks he is. We could watch the tapes of A.A. Allen and Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts and all of those, and you'll find out who they say he is. But see, when it really comes down to it, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? And the answer that Peter gave was given by revelation of God. Jesus said, "No man really told you this. You got this straight from heaven. You got this from my Father. You are the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, and the mystery of the gospel is that same Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I was hearing that this morning. Not even, he won't even let me right now even open my Bible, because he wants to minister to you individually. So I have to be very careful and just follow him the best that I can. I hope you're learning by example, because you're going to have to learn how to do this at Walmart, on your job, at your school, at the park. We're not going to have revival by best men's efforts. We're going to have revival by the moving of the Holy Ghost and the anointing that breaks every yoke. We've got to learn to follow him. It goes right along with Alan's message. You've got to grow up to the point you follow him. Jesus did exactly that. That baptism, when he was baptized by John, it was not only the coronation of the last Adam, which I have taught many times. It was also a complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, and again, you don't need to write me any letters. I know he is the Word made flesh. I know he was and is and always was God, is God. I understand all of that. But in Acts 10:38, it talks about how Jesus anointed a man, not God in the flesh. He anointed a man, and the reason you know that is because it says Jesus of Nazareth. He could have said how God anointed the Word. Listen, the Word's already anointed. How God anointed a man, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. God who? God the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of the Father. Now, where he's taking you and me and all of us and all those that are joined, including you, where he's taking us is to walk as he walked, to talk as he talked, and to have the same results that he had. So this morning, listening, I heard that again. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus goes on, he says, you didn't receive this from man. You received this directly from my Father. Upon this rock. What rock? It's not Peter. Upon this rock. What rock? Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the healer. Who do you say he is? He is all of that and everything else to you. And upon this rock, that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And for years, I had this image of gates attacking us. We were always the ones under attack. I had this mindset of, and it's not totally wrong. There is counsels of hell to destroy you, okay? But thank God for praying in other tongues. Thank God for our pastor who taught us. Because the Holy Spirit, he can just change your life with a sentence. And one day he just asked me, he says, now, tell me about every time in your life, Gary. He didn't say Gary. Tell me about every time in your life that you've been attacked by a gate. You ever been attacked by a gate? I've walked by thousands of gates in my lifetime of all kinds. I have yet to have one attack me. Have you? No, it's not what gates are for. Gates are to keep you out and to keep something else in. But the gates of hell, you know, Satan is called the god of this world, little g. But he is the god of this world. He really is. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? Oppressed of the devil, god of this world. He's got them behind his gate. They might be crippled. They might be blind. They might be missing a leg, missing an arm. They might have, in that day it was leprosy. Today it would be all kinds of, from cancer to coronavirus, whatever, you know. But they're behind the devil's gate. He's got them prisoner. And when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John now, I see our hero. I see the prototype. I see the one we're supposed to pattern after, the author and finisher of my faith. Say it. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Say it with me. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. What he says is what I do. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every time he finds a prisoner behind the gate. Now he's being led by the Holy Ghost. I totally agree with Alan's message. Yes, sir. You know what? I'm going to... Brother Gary, I'm still having that same problem. I'd like to be led by the Holy Ghost, but it still seems like that I can't hear him, that I can't get that direction that comes by the Holy Ghost. Well, I would advise you to go back and listen to the last two or three messages that he's done through me, because I'm seeing that image again. One of those messages, Angie figured out a way to put a PDF out beside it that has a link on it to a little 2 or 3 minute video. It's a demonstration of my sheep hear my voice. I'm going to go through it again because he's bringing it again. And in that demonstration, it's in another country. There's a pasture, there's a whole bunch of sheep, and they're just doing what sheep do. They're just grazing. They're eating the nice green grass. They're behind a fence. They're just eating the grass. You know, it's what they're just doing what sheep do. And they bring up a young person who's on purpose trying to get the sheep to hear her voice. So she comes up and she's in a loud, shrill voice, something like, yada, 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 yada. The sheep, she might as well saved her breath. Not one sheep raises up to even look at her. They just keep munching and munching. Then you bring up I think it's a boy. Anyway, another young person, and with on purpose trying to get the attention of the sheep. Yada, 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 yada. Yo, yo, you know, doing, making just noise. It's in a foreign language. I don't know what they're saying. You know? Sheep just don't pay any attention. They don't hear that voice. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they don't follow, see. See, the stranger, they don't pay any, I don't even hear that. They're just munching. Even though that stranger was yelling really, really loud. But then they bring up the farmer, the shepherd, the one who owns the sheep, the one who owns them. And he doesn't yell or try and do anything unusual to get their attention. Now, it's in a foreign language, so I don't know what he's saying, but it's just very calmly. It sounds like he would be saying something like, hello, my sheep. Hello, I love you. Just, I don't know what he's saying, but it's in a tone of voice, very soothing like that. Not yelling, not trying to get their attention, just speaking. And I mean instantly, those sheep, their heads come up and they look directly at him. And he keeps talking. And as he keeps talking, they stop what they're doing. And they come to him. Now that gate where the Holy Spirit speaks is the exact same place in us where your conscience speaks. And the reason, I hate to say this, but the number one reason most people have trouble hearing the Holy Ghost is they have seared their own conscience. Because the first level of hearing him is Romans 8. Those that are led by the Spirit, little s, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those that are led by the nature, they are the sons of God. And we're so accustomed to not following that voice that we don't recognize the Holy Spirit's voice when he's trying to speak to us through that same gate. And this can get really, I don't know how far you have to backpedal in your life. See, I'm not you. I don't know your walk with the Lord. I know my walk with the Lord. There may be, see, and I don't, if I pick on something and you'll focus there, I could, you know, TV programs, movies. It could be good things. It could be clubs. It could be knitting. A knitting club? Is there such a thing as, I don't know. It could be canasta. It could be. I'm saying it's not necessarily evil things. It's things. It's what sheep do. So what I'm seeing now, what if there's a sheep out there that doesn't raise its head? Is it because the master's not speaking? This is good. I'm not this smart. See, what if there is? This is what you're saying to me when you tell me I can't hear him. Well, what if there's a sheep out there in that video that doesn't raise his voice? I don't hear that. I don't hear the voice of my owner. Well, why would that be? How many times have you ignored that voice? On the little things. I'm going to say it a different way, not necessarily little, on the holiness things, on the righteousness things, on the purity things. See, it may not even necessarily be sin, it might just be a weight. Could be a knitting club. I don't know why a knitting club, why in the world that would come to me in 2020, but anyway, a knitting club. I guess it's because it's so innocent. What's more innocent than that? But see, if you are on your way to the knitting club, because we'll just run with it. That's what he brought. I certainly did not come up with knitting club. You're on your way driving to the knitting club. And the Holy Ghost says, oh, this is prayer night. I need you to not go to the knitting. You can go to the knitting club some other time. Tonight, I want you to go join in corporate prayer. Now, at first, maybe you heard it. Well, I'm sure you did hear it at first. But if you ignore it, Dave, when he would teach on this, he says, well, what you did right there, if you ignored it, it's like you took a 2x4 and you nailed it over that door. I don't want to hear that. I'm not hearing that. You know, the imagery. So the next time you nail another 2x4 over. The next time, it could be something different than the knitting club, too. I mean, whatever it is he's leading you in, could be a weight, just something he's trying to cut off your life, you know. But if you ignore it and ignore it and ignore it, and you're nailing a 2x6 and a 2x4 and a 2x12 across there, and you're putting chains and locks and padlocks on it, and pretty soon, you're another sheep munching the grass, knitting at the club, just doing something innocent, what sheep do. And the owner comes, and he speaks, and you go, I didn't hear that. I'm going to write a letter to Gary. I'm going to email Gary because I can't hear God. How? So then you get in a prayer line. I want to say Dave's prayer line, where you're going to hear from God. You know, and even then, I never in all those years ever heard a scathing, horrible, thou worm. Never heard one of those. I mean, the Holy Ghost is so gentle. And they would hear, I mean, guarantee you, they would hear God. And the problem is, when they left the line, they were not dead enough to do whatever it was God said. See, there's a real, God, I mean, yeah, I had no idea this was today's lesson. There is a real danger to disobeying the voice, the little s. That's your first level of leadership. And that's why righteousness and walking in righteousness, that's why the Holy Spirit, all through the epistles, the letters written to the church, there's so little emphasis in the epistles on healing, really. There's so much about holiness. It's like the Holy Spirit knows if we don't walk in the righteousness that he's given us, if we don't learn to walk in that righteousness and obey that little s, the leadership that comes from the new nature, we're not going to hear the Holy Spirit to walk in healing anyway. We'll be out laying unanointed hands on unanointed people, speaking unanointed words and having unanointed results. Does that sound like any church you ever heard of? That's pretty well the church at large today. So in this season, yes, sir, in this season, and I don't know how long this is going to last, but in this season of corporate prayer, where he's literally calling us. Now, I know you can pray at home. I pray at home, too. But he's calling us to corporate prayer. You study history, you'll never see a revival where there wasn't corporate prayer ahead of it. Because he's drawing all of us to a place where when the master speaks, I don't care what we're doing, our heads snap towards that voice. We hear that voice, and I'm talking righteousness, holiness first, then the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'll mention this. I've always had a... My prayer time has been turned up a lot in this season, ever since those 8 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk that we're calling now Blueprint for 2020. And then there's a 9th one that talks about operating out of his authority. Okay. He says some astounding things in those prophecies. I'm just going to recommend to you again, if you haven't heard them 30 times, now there's no law, but I'm telling you, there's so much in there, you won't get it without going through it a lot of times. And that ninth one where he's talking about authority, where you learn to step back. You got it. Here's chaos. Here's a problem. He says, first off, know that I'm sending you as a problem solver in there. Even when you don't feel like you have the answer, you do have the answer. Because he who created everything dwells inside of you. Now, so the if you have the answer, now the question becomes, can you hear and obey to deliver that answer? Because the answer is in there. So I've been praying more, trying to do my best to obey what he's saying. I'll just share this with you twice in the last week. Once in a teaching that I was doing by way of Skype to Brazil, and another, a teaching to a young man who's trying to learn how to follow God better, texting. Twice in the last week, answers began coming out of me, or maybe I should say wisdom, coming out of me to where I wanted to step out of my body and just listen and take notes. And it's not like I've never said some of those things before, but just the way that he put it together was beyond what I've walked in myself. That's just minuscule first. I see it like you ever see a dam that gets a crack in it? And first are just a little tiny drops, little bit of water coming out, you know. But boy, eventually, what kind of power is behind that dam? What if he learned how to let his power flow? That, you know what the dam is? I'll tell you right now what the dam is. It's your flesh, which includes understandings, wrong understandings, unbridled emotions, and things like that. But man, there is a reservoir of power within each and every one of us that wants to get loose. And that's called revival. I highly recommend those messages to you again, those prophecies. Yes, sir. I've been going in my mind during all of this. Every now and then it'll come to me. Certain things that have... You know, there's only one Bible. Thank God the truth is in that Bible. There's not going to be any more truth because it is complete. But boy, our understanding of it can sure change. Now for me personally, just because it come through me, it's not why I'm saying this. But when he brought forth the understanding of 1 John and what we call the 1 John series, I don't know about you, but my life changed forever. My path got way narrower. I really recommend that because after that came the God of War, and I needed a special part of that. Then came the Sermon on the Mount. Now those three happened to come through me. Through Pastor Bronk came many wonderful teaching series during the last 2 years also. Also through Pastor Jim Martin and others, okay? How do I say this? Why would the Lord bring that as we're preparing for revival if we don't need that understanding within us? And not just the understanding, but the obedience to it. I really recommend that you not be slothful. If you haven't heard those, you need to hear them. Because the Holy Spirit has been very faithful. That song again. Line on line. Precept by precept, here a little, there a little, line on line. He's been building these walls of revelation because he's about to bring the roof. He's about to cap this thing off with a real revival. And we need those understandings. Now, Pastor Jim Martin just did one down at Bronx Church. He really dove off the deep end because it's on the book of Revelation. And I think he has called it end time prophecy. And as I was listening to it, taking notes myself, I'm a good student, by the way, I was remembering, Sue and I have been saved 40 years now. This is our 40th year. I remember sitting under, and it's not my intention to belittle anybody or anything, because well-intended people, 25, 30 years ago, I remember sitting underneath their teaching as they taught the book of Revelation. I'm just going to touch on how many of you have ever heard, I'm not saying you believe it, how many of you have ever heard that when that beast comes up out of the ocean and it has, how many heads? There's 10 crowns, 10 crowns, 10 heads, must be 10 heads with 10 crowns. How many of you have ever heard that's a revived Roman Empire? 10 nation European, they used to teach at one time it was the European Union, which worked as if when there was 10 nations in it. Trouble is now there's 21. What are you going to do, you know? Well, it's not a revived Roman Empire. And it's not a European nations. It's not at all. So I was thinking, those were scholarly men that loved God, had done their best to try and figure it out. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. God gave us a book, and God gave us a teacher. If you believe that the 10 crowns is a revived Roman Empire, you need to hear Jim Martin's series that he just finished. Now it's at his website and at Bronx's website. I think they just called it End Time Prophecy. You need that one in your arsenal. There's going to be a lot of people take the mark of the beast and never even knew they did it. Never even knew they did it. Okay. Now I'm not... Even that is showing how we must rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful. In America, we have so westernized the gospel that we can become 10 miles off with the best intentions in the world. Okay? So, there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and the pure Word of God. The combination of those two together, we are on our way. How many are thankful for a pastor? Pastor Dave Roberson. Faithfully, year after year after year. We'd come to the conference. Surely this year it will be something new. Surely we'll get the brand new thing this year. And open up to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for him. And I still believe Dave Roberson will be spearheading the charge into the revival. Still believe in that. Hallelujah. Well, it's 10 minutes till. I think I've just shared with you from my heart what he's bringing forward. You want to hear his voice? Hear his voice. Yes, sir. Okay, that's it. Okay. How do I do that, though, Gary? Okay, Gary, I admit. Okay, maybe you're watching. I admit. Okay. I have seared my conscience. I'm pretty sure that's what the problem is. What do I do about that? Well, your answer is 1 John 1:9. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from, now get this, all unrighteousness. You just go to him, and you probably can't remember everything where you kept munching when he was talking. Let's say it a different way. Where you ignored what he was saying to you, and you kept doing what you was doing. So, well, this isn't evil. It's knitting class. Could be a weight that he's trying to get you free from, though, see? Well, you just go to 1 John 1:9. You don't have to remember every single thing. But just say, Lord, in fact, let's just do this. It won't hurt us, right? Just say after me, Lord, I come again because I want to hear your voice. Your voice in me by the new nature and your voice by the Holy Spirit. I come to you now, Lord, and I confess again. I am so sorry for ignoring your voice. And I just kept doing whatever it was I was doing when you were calling me away. Lord, I repent. I confess it as sin. Lord, forgive me, please. And wash me fresh. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. I know it's still on the mercy seat. I receive that forgiveness now. I receive that washing now. I receive that cleansing. Oh, I thank you now. My conscience is tender again. That doorway in me is open again. I'm listening, Lord. As I go about my business as your sheep, I've got my ears lifted up. I am attentive for your voice. And whatever you say, that's what I'll do. And I will come to you every time I hear you calling me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I've been through this before. I know it works. I know it works. Man, you'll hear his voice better in the rest of this day than you've heard it in a long time. And I'm talking about mostly the conscience. Now, obey it. Don't repeat the same patterns. If he says stop, stop. If he says do, do. Amen.